Hi, I'm Jennifer. I'm a compulsive eater and a bulimic.
Hi, Jennifer.
I'm honored to be here. This was one of the very first meetings I walked into, and it's just amazing to me that I could ever be standing up here. So I'm very happy to be here. I guess I should start by saying that I really qualify. I mean, I could do a long list of descriptions when I first identify. I feel like I've had every part of this disease. I've really done pretty much everything that I could think of with food. I've done every diet you have ever heard of, ones you probably haven't. I've done, I've had problems with exercise bulimia, undereating, overeating, you name it, I've done it. So I, you know, that's sort of the full description. I got into program in July of 2006, and it saved my life. It saved me in all areas of my life, and my life is completely different today. It's absolutely, like, beyond words. And not only with my food and my disease, but in my relationships, in my life, in my work, in the way, you know, I am. So I'm really, really grateful. Just to, I guess, start from the beginning, I grew up, was born into a very loving family, a really alcoholic, happy family, I would say. And in my family, it was okay to drink to excess, and it was okay to do a lot of things. It was not okay to be fat. It was all about upholding this outside image. You know, we're okay as long as we look good. You know, and things could be completely falling apart behind closed doors, but as long as it looked good, everything was okay. So my goal in life was to look good at all costs, not only physically, but in everything I did. It was about getting approval and achievement and accomplishment. And I wanted desperately to please my father, who is, you know, an amazing human being. I love him dearly. My family's just really affected by, you know, disease. And the thing is, alcohol just didn't work for me. But from the time I was tiny, food called to me. It was just, you know, I was one of those kids, like, I would sneak out when I was, you know, 2 years old and go downstairs and eat butter out of the refrigerator. And, you know, I would go to birthday parties, and there was, like, this place called Farrell's. It was, like, this ice cream place, and all the kids would be in this room, and we'd all leave and go to the next room to open presents, and I would stay and go around and finish everybody else's dessert. And that's just the way it was for me, you know. I didn't have any, you know, tools, and people thought, they joked that I had a tapeworm because people saw the way I ate, and I didn't seem to gain weight, you know. So this was great for a while, you know. It worked, and I was very active. I was in sports, you know. I had to perform at every level. It was extremely important to me and to my family, and so that really worked for a long time until I got, you know, into high school. In high school, I remember I was playing on lots of sports teams and exercising a ton. And then I would just, I would be so obsessed with the food. There was these huge cookies that they sold at my high school. And, like, I got up in the morning to get those cookies. You know, it was just like I would put them in the microwave, and it would just, I still have feelings about those cookies. You know? So that's just, you know, I felt comfort. I felt like, I felt okay, you know, when I was with food. And for a long time, I was able to kind of be a compulsive overeater and not have it show on my body. And, you know, it was kind of people were, like, proud of it in my family because it was so important to look good. And, yeah, she can eat, and, well, it turns out, you know, that doesn't work forever. So when I got to college, I went to an abroad program, and it was in England. And the weather was not conducive to exercise for me. And I had an eating buddy there, and we just had a great time. And I didn't even realize that I was gaining weight, but my parents came to visit, and they were horrified. And, you know, in reality, I probably gained, like, 15 pounds. It wasn't like I was taking over the planet. But they were not pleased, you know, and they made comments, and they you know, like, it was just, it was not okay. So I was getting ready to go home after they came, and I didn't eat for a week. I literally didn't eat for a week. And that was really the beginning of my, you know, all the different variants of the disease, which were, you know, like I said, bulimia, undereating, exercise bulimia, you know, and it was, when I came back from that trip, like, I just remember, you know, I remember being, the first time I ever threw up was on the plane on the way back from England, and I remember I hadn't eaten, like, I hadn't eaten anything. It's really hard when you're on a plane. It's like you want to eat. So I ate something, and I was like, oh, God, I can't, like, I can't eat this. And I went into the bathroom there, and I, you know, who knew that I would proceed to feel 50 times lower than that before I got better? But that was a low. Like, I was like, what are you doing? Like, you're in a bathroom in the, you know, airplane, and it was just, it didn't matter. It was like whatever I had to do to look a certain way. And so I, you know, continued pretty much. I went back to, you know, school. I graduated. And I did the same thing. You know, I would just go from, like, extreme controlled eating, and then I'd lose it, and then I'd go off crazy, and then I'd start throwing up, or I'd start exercising. It was just this vicious cycle that ebbed and flowed for the next, I guess it was 12 years or so. And on the outside, my life continued to look great. I continued to have outside evidence of happiness. And I was just this lost little girl. I, at one point, I guess, you know, I there were things I did, I think, that were attempts to get people to notice. But in my family, there was so much other bigger, louder disease going on that it was not, you know, nobody really paid much attention. And when, I guess it was about four years before I got into program, we had an intervention for my brother, and which is funny because all the people, like, doing the intervention could have been in any number of programs, but we had this intervention for my brother, and one of the things that the counselor had said, you know, he would like us to do is to talk about something we're willing to do. And so I said that I was willing to go to Al-Anon, because they told us to go to Al-Anon, which we never did. And I said that I would look at my issues with food. And for me, this was like over loudspeaker, like, to the universe, like, I have a problem. And nobody noticed. Like, nobody heard. Nobody cared. It was just, you know, that's just the kind of the way it was. And I'm not blaming, I mean, there was like someone else's intervention going on. It wasn't like I was the focus, but I just, so I tried, like, in little ways. And after that, I went and I looked up Al-Anon meetings and OA meetings in LA, and I had no intention of going, but I looked at them. And so, you know, that was that. And I got very caught up in the drama with my brother and my family and other things that were going on that continue in full force today. Like, there's zero change with that. But my disease continued to progress. And I guess I was 30, and it was every type of outside, you know, I had finally gotten to this point where I'd checked off every external thing that I wanted to show my family and the world that I was okay. And I'd gotten this big job. I was in this relationship with this guy who was right on paper, you know, like, everybody, he just fit in all the boxes. And, you know, we had this house, like, everything was just exactly the way it was supposed to be, only I was miserable. And when I first got this job, people would take me out for dinners to celebrate. And I wasn't there for those dinners. I would go to them, and I would eat, and I would be obsessed with what I was eating. And then it would be at some point, like, it would be the one, you know, like, one bite too many or one dessert or whatever it was. And it was just, I was gone. I had to get out of there as quickly as possible and hit wherever I was going. And it was, I did that for like 3 weeks nonstop, like literally going to these dinners that were for me, you know, to celebrate me. And here I am like in full, like I'd be up till 3 o'clock in the morning, eating, purging, hating myself. And, you know, all these people thought like I had this great life, you know, and I was in this relationship with this guy who was not happy for me. It was a totally dysfunctional relationship and, that perfectly suited my disease. And so that's really, where I was when I came in. I was absolutely, I got to the point where I knew that I needed help. I never told a soul. I never told a soul other than my little attempts at like, you know, I never told anyone. And I thought that nobody knew. So it was so odd, you know, when I look back, like how many people have a range of size of clothing, you know, my closet was like, you know, I just was up and down and up and down and up and down depending on what was going on. And I always had an excuse or a story or whatever it was, you know. But what happened was I started going to yoga, which is something that was like, I could calm down. And I started to want to go to yoga more than I wanted to escape with the food. And so I would try to like fit in, you know, some yoga. And, I went on this yoga retreat and there's all these people in recovery, all these people, who were sober. And, I was so overwhelmed. Like I went, you know, it was really unusual because it doesn't always work out that way, but it was like a recovery. It turned out to be sort of a semi-recovery thing because pretty much everyone there was in some type of 12-step program, and I felt safe for the first time in my life. You know, I felt like, okay, nobody cares what I do. Nobody cares like about all these outside things that I always felt like defined me. And I felt safe. And when I was there that like Saturday night, I had this dream that I was confronted in the bathroom and all these people were like, we know you're bulimic. We know what you've been doing. And I woke up like, oh my God, like to me, the worst thing in the world that like is that people could find out like who I really am. You know, I remember thinking like people would come into my office at work and they'd be like, oh, you know, talking to me. I'd sit there and be like, they don't even know who they're talking to. Like, they think I'm this person, but they have no idea what I do when I leave here. So I had this dream and someone told me, or the guy doing the retreat said, I started talking about my brother, which was the first time I'd actually talked about my brother and my dad and, you know, the 8 million other people who's, diseases had also affected me. And he's like, you got to go to Al-Anon. Well, you know, the minute I got into Al-Anon, it was, and started getting honest, it was pretty clear that there was somewhere else I needed to go. And, I cannot, like, if you would have told me, like, I tried everything in the world to stop throwing up, to stop compulsively eating, I did everything, and it was all, it all failed, and I had been so, like, disciplined in other areas of my life. I didn't understand, like, why can I not do this? And when I came in here, I don't know what happened. Like, God is in these rooms, you know, and I was totally, like, it's a freaking miracle, you know, my life sort of fell apart on the outside when I came into program, which is the best thing also that ever happened to me. But I came in and I heard someone speak and, she told like all these things that I would never have told. You know, she talked about just the, you know, her, like she talked about things that I had gone through, that I had done, that I was so ashamed of. And, I walked up and I asked her to be my sponsor, and she's my sponsor today. And I just followed direction. For the first time in my life, I listened to what someone else told me to do. I didn't, you know, try to do it my own way. And it's just been an absolutely unbelievable journey. To start to, you know, just to come in here and to find like a new way to do my life. And I was blessed like with abstinence really quickly. And I don't know why, you know, everybody has a different experience. I think I was so low and I was so dark. Like, here I just, when I came in, like, I was the oldest 30-year-old on the planet. I had no, I just had no interest in anything. And I felt like I was, my life was ending. You know, I didn't feel like, you know, there was anything good. And I think that that level of bottom is what helped me hear, you know, more quickly. But I really don't know. I came in and I was freaking willing. Like, I thought, like, I want to get married. I want to have a family someday. Like, how can I, you know, be pregnant and doing what I, you know, be doing what I'm doing in my body? Like, how can I have all these things? And one day at a time, my life has changed completely. When I first got in, my, you know, I think in the very beginning, I was like, okay, 3 meals a day, I'm going to do this, no throwing up, okay. And I totally restricted my food, And then I, 3 months later, I heard someone at a meeting talk about getting into program and using the program to restrict food. And I was like, oh. And that's the thing about these rooms. It's like, I might not be able to hear it if you say, hey, Jen, you're totally restricting your food. I would tell you to go, you know, wherever. But if I hear someone talking about their own experience, I can hear it. You know, I can say, okay, that's me. You know, and then I had to learn how to, like, have a relationship with myself and with food. And that meant learning how to eat. And that I had no idea what a normal portion was. Like, I had no concept. And I had no full, I had no, there was just none of those feelings in my body. And it was a journey, you know. I gained, I don't even know what I gained because I haven't been on a scale since I got into program, but I went up 4 sizes. And for me, that was so freaking painful, you know. It was just like, this is, you know, and it was fantastic because when I, it was at that point that I really surrendered and I was like, God, this is your body, you know, this is all that belongs to you, you know, I am just going to trust you. And I had to every morning turn my body and my food over to God. And, you know, so I gained weight and I started to learn how to eat. I had 3 massive meals that were so unpleasant, you know, and I kept doing it. I called my sponsor complaining every morning, like, none of my clothes fit, da 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 da. And she just kept saying, you know, like, your body is not your business. Your body is not your business. And I didn't have a healthy concept of what a body should look like. I just, my definition of healthy is another person's definition of sick. So I kept coming. I kept sharing. And it was in, you know, my least, you know, this body that I could hardly stand to be in, that so many amazing things happened to me. I fell in love with the man I'm now married to. I had experience, you know, I got to experience that I'm not my body. Like, I'm the spirit in me. You know, I'm, God's in me. It's not what I look like on the outside. And at some point in the middle of my 9th step, my obsession with my body was lifted. And when I first got in here, I believed, okay, maybe I'll be abstinent at some point. But I never believed my obsession with food and with my body would be lifted. And I got to tell you, like, I have been so blessed, but my life today is like my life, you know. I don't wake up like, oh my God, what am I going to eat? What about this and what about that? And I don't worry, like, if my pants fit differently one day than they did the other day. Like, that for me is a gigantic miracle. You know, that's how I defined my worth. Like, if my pants were too tight, I wasn't worthy to walk in the world with you. And so that, you know, that lifted. And at some point, I went on a trip to South America with my now husband, and we were down there, and there's all these, like, beautiful women who don't, like, have, you know, the L.A. shape. And they were, I finally, like, got, this is beautiful. Like, these are, like, really beautiful women, and so many miracles, like, happened for me at that point. But anyway, at some point, I got busy with my life. My life started getting really big. I started sponsoring people. I started feeling okay in my skin. And at some point, the weight fell away. You know, it just happened without me really noticing. And, you know, I today, like, it's not my priority in life. It just isn't. And as a bulimic, like, I have to be very careful about, you know, restrictions. You know, I'm not someone who can say I can't eat X, Y, and Z because that just feeds this part of me that's not good. So for the most part, sugar's not a big part of my life today. It's not great for me. It's not like on my abstinence list because I don't want to know where I'd go if it was. But, the other thing I guess I want to say is that beyond the food, you know, beyond that part of my life, like, this program has taught me how to be a human being and how to be someone I can be proud of and how to, you know, just these simple guidelines. Like, I always wanted things to be so complex, you know, and if I live by very simple principles, things make sense, and I've gotten to clean up so many messes in my life and act in a way I can feel, you know, I can feel proud of. And that's the stuff I ate over. You know, if I keep myself, if I keep my side of the street clean, and if I, you know, act, if I'm of service, if I do the things that I know are good, like, I feel good. I go to the food when things are not working for me personally. That's just what happens. So when I'm, you know, showing up for people, when I'm acting with integrity, when I'm of service, when I'm sponsoring people, when I'm doing that, that's when I get out of this crazy place and I get to be with people. You know, when I'm in self-obsession and I'm not showing up for people, I'm not acting in a way that I can be proud of, like, forget it. All I care about is my food and my body, and that's it. And, you know, there have been periods where all of a sudden, like, in program where I feel like, okay, this is a little funny. Like, there'll just be something that kind of pops up. Like, I had this experience with jelly beans, which, like I said, you know, sugar's not on my abstinence list, so I'd have a few jelly beans every afternoon. Then I'd have a few more, and then I'd have a few more, and then I'd have a few more. And it was like, this is not good. And I get to be so honest, and it's almost always like there's something going on that I need to look at. And I've now come to be really grateful for this disease, because it's like, you know, I get this wake-up call, you know, whenever I'm, like, sitting and looking at a menu and there's not enough food on the menu for me, I know that there's something going on. And, you know, I guess it's, for me today, it's not about the food, you know, it's about how I walk through my life. It's about God and a relationship with God, and it's hugely about being of service. I'm so grateful to the people, you know, I sponsor, who've asked me to sponsor them. It's just this absolute gift. I was able to use my sponsor more once I started sponsoring, because I realized it was a gift. And, you know, those are the things that, for me, have just taken me out of the insanity of my brain and the, you know, the self-obsession and into my life and into relationships and into, you know, being with other people. So I'm just really, really grateful to you guys for being here. And I think that's it. So...
Thank you so much
for your sharing. I was wondering, you shared a lot about your family making negative comments and stuff. How do you deal with that today? Like, from this experience? The question was, I shared a lot about negative comments in my family, and how do I deal with those things today? You know, those things today, it's not fun. Like, comments are just not fun. But it's really, they aren't my business. Like, the way I deal with it is just not my business. Like, what someone else says or does or thinks of me is not my business. That's really hard, because I want to be accepted. You know, I just want you to think I'm okay. And, it's just not my business. And I try to bring God into it and just remind, you know, I try to bring God into the whole situation, which is, like, I'm not my body, you know, like, today I know I'm not my body. I'm just this is a body on loan from God. So that's, you know, yeah.
Hi, thank you very much for your share. How did your relationship change with your family, and has the way you dealt with it changed?
the question is, how did my relationship with my family change, and how has the relationship changed, and how I deal with them? I think I may have repeated that twice, but that's a good question. You know, when I told my family about this, I told them, and I think they've never mentioned it again. They don't want to know this goes on. Like, they just don't want to know this part of me. And today, that's okay. You know, today it's okay. I have a loving relationship with my family that's no longer conditioned on me having some kind of expectation of them being able to be this, you know, be what I want them to be instead of who they are, which is really great people who gave me a lot. So when I'm with, you know, when I'm with my parents and my extended family, my goal is to be of service and to just do everything I can to help. And that can mean, like, you know, that saved me a lot, just to simply be of service, to help get things ready, to ask how they're doing, to make it all about them. And, you know, I still struggle. It's still hard. There's a lot of isms in my house, and it can be tough for me to be around them. So, you know, I have to take space. I've had a lot of, oh, I gotta run, I'll call you back. So that I can keep, you know, I can act in the way that, like, I can be a loving daughter and a loving sister and a loving, you know, loving to all the other people, in my life. So, but it's a work in progress, for sure. That's my big.
Hi, thank you so much for your share. Can you talk a little bit about how your relationship with God has changed?
When I first came in, the one thing that happened for me is I felt for the first time in my life I was going to be okay. Like, no matter what happens, like, I am okay. I felt this whole, like, I just never experienced anything like that. That was my first, I think, real concept of God. And I grew up with a very distorted kind of, like, image. There's lots of disagreement about God and religion in my household. And I have made this journey, like, in the last, you know, couple of years, to this place where, and it's taken off on a lot of different forms, but for me, it's such practice. Like, faith is practice. And it's on my knees in the morning and at night, and it's reading, and it's meditating, and it's, like, being in the third step, like, you know, turning my life and my will over to God on a daily basis. You know, I mean, it's just practice for me. And, you know, the one thing that's changed for me, I guess, is that now when something happens where it's not what I want, I always, like, I practice bringing God into the situation, which is, like, God has something better for me planned. And I think, you know, this part of my program will continue to evolve and change because I've been open to God in forms that I wasn't before, because I had this concept of God that wasn't loving and wasn't kind, and I've sort of, you know, progressed back to, like, my origin roots in that kind of way. But, you know, for me, it's practice. It really is practice, and just doing those things over and over again. I mean, working the steps, being on my knees, praying. I mean, I am, like, prayer is, you know, is such a gift. And meditate, you know, there's so many different things, and it changes for me all the time. I wish I was someone who's like, I meditate an hour every morning, but I don't. But I connect with God every morning. You know, I get on my knees, and then I have my time. And I try to connect with God a lot more than that. But it's a work, that's definitely a process for me, too. That's it. Okay. Thank you.